Good evening. The time is 5 p.m. The Warwick City Finance Committee is now open. If I have, may have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on June 6th.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Be right back.
I'm not good.
Aye.
I said aye. My voice carries. Trust me.
Do you accept the minutes?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion carries unanimously.
Aye.
We're on the PCR 73-22, the bid package. So we're discussing bid number one, found on page one, 2023-077, electricity contract. If I may call Mr. Schaefer and Ms. Peschka to the microphone. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Director.
Good afternoon. You have a communication, a two-page communication. There's one major thing that has changed since then. Let me just... you approved a contract with the same vendor, the league vendor that was selected by the league 5 years ago. Their contract has been expended with the league for another 3 years. Our contract for electricity runs out in December, this December. And it's been the case for many years. You don't want to wait till December to lock in, because when the winter starts rolling around, prices go up. Independent of the winter, prices have been going up. Not as bad as petroleum prices, but bad. And there's been a lot of fluctuation. There was a good day, actually, Friday. The energy markets are closed today because of the holiday. And I gave you a recommendation to go to a price of agreed with 3-year contract at 0.1175 per kilowatt hour. We're currently paying through December, and that will continue, 0.0710. So you're talking a price increase of over 50%, although it's only going to be for half a year. So it's a little over 25%. I've given you some information on rates that you would pay if you went through National Grid, and in the winter you would probably be paying. Last year, people who were under that plan were paying over three times what we're paying right now, and twice what this contract. That's the kind of expectation. Now, we've been approached by so that's another option, is just when the contract runs out in December, and just go whatever price the I forget the term for it is called. Then there's two different classifications, industrial, commercial. We're about half and half. But it's almost certain to be much higher than what we would get from locking in a 3-year contract. We've also been approached by brokers. There are brokers out there that want to, they can't really explain how they're going to do it. They won't give you a price. And what I can give you is a guaranteed price. And we may have mud on our face 6 months from now. I can't tell you, energy prices could collapse, and we will have locked in this price. That's the way it is. On the other hand, we protect ourselves against the worst. This pricing will get us to our budget, and we budgeted some substantial increases, and we knew this was going to happen. There will be another increase in 24, probably over 20%. 25 will be flat because we have locked in for 3 years. We're talking the city spending around $2 million this year, $2.5 million that is this current year, fiscal year 22, around $2.5 million in fiscal year 23. About a quarter of that is enterprise funds, mostly sewer. The other thing that's going on was mentioned just in one sentence here. I didn't really think it was going to happen, but there's a renewable energy standards bill, which is passed both branches. I don't believe the governor signed it yet. And that's going to add, at the end of the contract, another at least 4.5% to the price that's going to get added on to our pricing unless we sign a contract by July 1. There's grandfathering in the bill that will freeze us at approximately 21.5% surcharge, which we're already in our base, but it will prevent us from going up to 26.5%. So I wasn't certain that was going to happen at the time I sent this communication, but it's definitely going to happen, or it certainly passed both branches. You know, unless the governor gets some new wisdom, some new advice on this, maybe from some municipalities, because we're all facing this, but we can grandfather us in to not paying that additional surcharge for the over the 3-year period of our contract if we sign a contract before July 1st. Now, they sent us, Constellation Power Options sent us pricing at 3:30 this afternoon at 0.1174. I had sent you a communication requesting approval for not more than 0.1175. And I said, if they don't make it, we'll come back next month. Well, my guidance has changed a little bit because of this piece of legislation, because we're not going to come back. We come back next month, we're going to have that additional surcharge that we're going to be locked into. So the one thing that I would like to do is amend my guidance to you to go to 0.1180. And I've talked to Pat about this. And that will give us, they're going to give us additional pricing tomorrow morning, because we have to price on the day that we sign the contract. I'd like to have just a little more flexibility in case there's something bad in the energy markets tomorrow morning. It was a good day Friday, might be a little bit better. It could even be less than what they proposed here, 0.1174. But I don't want to lose this opportunity because of the rest bill. And so I'd like to amend my guidance to you to 0.1180, and hopefully we'll have a contract tomorrow morning if you approve this.
Thank you, Director. Ms. Peschka, did you want to follow up?
I was just going to add that I do have copies of the correspondence we got at 3:30. If anybody would like to see the rate that he just threw the clerk, I can give it to you.
Thank you.
Just one thing in that rate. And for example, they quoted us also for just a 1-year contract, and that would be 0.1429. as opposed to 0.1174. They're clearly, the options market, the futures market, is clearly pricing in a reduction in price as we go forward. But right now we're in a bad period. So my best judgment is that we should accept this. And I'm ready to respond to any questions.
Thank you. We're just going to take a moment to review some of the information. So since we will be seeking to amend, I'll give the city clerk a moment, and then I will ask for a PCR. Thank you so much. Bid 2023-077 is now PCR 70-22. It's not? Oh, I apologize. Correction, it's now PCR 74-22. So just for clarification, Mr. Director, you're looking to amend. I'm sorry, give me one moment. The on the paperwork we had, you had the bid at 0.1175.
Yeah, I'd like to change
and
that.
And you'd like to amend it to 0.1180.
Yes.
Thank you. So because we have the change, what I'm going to do, so we can allow for a discussion, I'm going to request a motion for PCR 74-22.
I move that we amend 74-22 as requested. Second.
With a favorable action. Do we have to... verbal on that as amended?
No, we haven't had any discussion.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. Second.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Discussion. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
So what you're presenting to us here, basically your recommendation is to lock in where things are at, given instability and not knowing what's happening in the future. How much have these, I mean, because they're obviously moving around every day. How turbulent, how volatile has it been over the last few weeks?
So just pricing on a megawatt hour basis, and they send us pricing every day. So at March 10th, which is as far as I go back, it was $100.65 per megawatt hour. It is now $117.10, and that's down about 80 cents from Thursday's close. So you've seen just since March, approximately a 17% increase.
And prior to this, what was are we emerging from a 3-year contract with Constellation, or do we have a different agreement?
The contract ends in December. So we're going to keep paying 0.071 through the meter read in December. That's the way the contract reads. So some meters are read December 3rd, some are read December 29th. The date may be in the old contract, something like December 20th. Any meter read after December 20th will be under the new pricing.
Got it. And when we put together the budget assumptions around electricity, did you have a rate in mind?
I had a percentage increase in mind, which was higher than what... because I knew we had locked in price through December, I was really only looking at a higher price for the second half of the year.
Yep.
So,
okay.
So it's going. We're really going from 2 to 2.5 million, which is what we got budgeted, but that only reflected having to pay that higher price the second half of the year.
And refresh me. We're taking a portion of that 2 million from ARPA funds, or are we using ARPA funds for offset?
That was part of the general fund pledge of costs that I hope will not be reoccurring long term. And in fact, in 25, it will flatten out because we have a guarantee. Hopefully after that, and we've seen this happen, we could have declines going forward. So there was an assumption of the 10 million, a little over 10 million in ARPA funds we were using for the budget, that are 2 to 3 million were for costs that would not be reoccurring long term.
Okay, got it. And then just generally for electricity spend in the city, does Constellation offer any incentives around efficiency projects or any of that?
They have. The league signed a contract with Constellation and a nonprofit company called Power Options. And Power Options has a whole series of consultants. We haven't used them enough, to be honest. And I've talked to one of them a couple of times in terms of you know, assistance in different solar issues. And you know, there's a fellow, Walter Gray, who I've talked to a number of times, and I hope to get Tom and his staff together with them. So they offer some good consulting services on the kinds of things you're talking about.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just encourage us to take advantage of whatever we can, but this seems like a prudent approach. So thank you.
No further questions from the committee. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I have a question about how this is structured. As per the memo dated June 9th, and also looking at the emails dated June 20th. So from what I'm seeing in the memo, it's showing that for a three-year contract to Constellation, December 2022 through December 2025, it would be at that 11.75 cents. And so
not to exceed 11.75, and the committee just amended that to 11.80.
Right. Thank you. And so I guess that my question on that is compared with the following paragraph where there's the indication that there would be a certain price for fiscal year 23, and then would there be a higher price for fiscal year 24 and fiscal year 25 that we're locking in, or is it a matter of we're locking it in, it's going to be the same rate for 3 years?
Same rate for 3 years. But, okay. But the thing that I was, we only have to lock in that rate for half this year because we're locked in from the approval of October 2019 into that 0.710 price until December.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess in that situation, if we are getting the advantage of being locked in at these rates, and then it turns out that the market rate ends up being higher, then obviously that's to our advantage. But if we lock in for a three-year contract, December 22 through December 25, and then let's say a year and a half from now, the rates end up plummeting for whatever reason. None of us can predict where the market will go. Would we have the ability to get out of what would then turn out to be a higher amount?
I would say no. That's the risk. And that's what I said. I may have mud on my face in my guidance to you.
Well, none of us have a crystal ball. If we did, then we'd all be millionaires.
I mean, obviously, the biggest driver on energy prices right now is natural gas. So you've got global issues in terms of supply in Europe right now and conversion to liquefied natural gas that's happening to a lot of our product going over there. How all these things will play out, I can't tell you.
Right.
But I can tell that the market is saying it's going to get better. We're going to give you a lower price if you sign a three-year contract because the futures markets are saying it's going to get better. But if this prevents us from having some really catastrophic pricing this year or next year, certainly in the winter.
Right. Either way, it's a bit of a gamble, and we just have to make the best choice under those difficult circumstances. And I can certainly appreciate the approach in locking in a rate, even if, you know, it seems relatively high to what we're paying now, because you know what? We don't know where this market is going to go over the next 3 years. And perhaps it's better to lock in a rate as opposed to being at the mercy of the markets. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. So I don't have an issue with what you're proposing, Director. As a matter of fact, I'd point out that during the budget hearings, one of the items I kept pressing on and questioning and challenging was the significant increase in the budget items for all of the departments with regard to electricity. And the answer continued to come back that because of the significant increases occurring and expected, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I understood you to say that right now, from now until the end of December, we're paying 0.1065.
0.0711.
0.0711.
710.
From now until the end of December.
Till the meter read in December.
Right. And then you're looking to lock in with the amendment at 0.1180.
Yes.
For three years. I couldn't disagree with your reasoning based upon, you know, my observations that are going on with regard to electricity and gas and oil, the reluctance to increase production of either the gas or the oil. So as I rationalize it in my mind for supporting this, it's going to be that three-year average. How do we end up, you know, in the three-year average? And based upon what you said and my observations, I can't come up with a better solution than what you have right now. But I will be keeping an eye on those electricity items in all of the department's budgets because of everything that everyone was pressing on during the budget hearings. So we'll keep a really close eye on that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Question, please, to the microphone. Identify yourself, please. Hold on one moment, she'll turn on the microphone.
Okay, I'm Rick Casella, I live in Ward 1. Something just occurred to me, you had said earlier that in the event that we budgeted monies that go beyond the cost of electricity, we may have a surplus of money that we've allowed for. You said, what, $2.5 million, and you thought we might spend two? So there was a possibility we would spend less.
Mr. Schaefer?
Is that correct?
No, we look like we're going to spend around $2 million this year. We have budgeted $2.5 million for next year. That's what I said.
Okay, so this year we're going to spend two, and I think we'll spend two and a half. Is there anywhere in our agreement with them that we can buy out of our...
No.
We can't buy out of it and then re-up? Okay. Because if we had the savings, we would invest it in buying up to a lower number. Okay.
That's my first question. That's the risk, as Councilman Ricks talked about. There's no way out. So that's the risk that the energy market will collapse we'll be stuck paying a higher price.
In my industry, if you want to buy out of your pre-qualification, you can buy extra points. So that's my question. And just a housekeeping thing. When you did the motion for PCR 7422, you asked for a motion to amend his recommendation, which was, right?
Yes.
And change it to PCR 7422 and have a new number, correct?
Because we amended it, we had to call out a PCR.
Yes.
74-22, yes.
Yeah, but the way he phrased it, I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Sure.
Is he phrased it amendment to PCR 7422 when he might have said... assign number 7422 to that, right? Is that how it goes? I'm trying to learn.
I made the mistake. I said PCR 7022. Yeah. She said no, it's 74. Okay. So he said correction 74-22 because asked for an amendment on that.
Because then he just seconded it, and I didn't know if you had corrected yourself.
No, okay. I see.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. May I have, we already have a motion. Well, we got to vote on the amendment first. May we have no. All right, so when we originally did it, we said to amend, we had a motion, we had a second. So we have to vote on that. Then we vote on as amended?
So the item before us at this time is what was assigned. It was originally the first bid, 2023-077. It was assigned PCR 7422.
Yes.
And the committee had voted to amend to adopt the director's amendment request to add the 0.005 to the kilowatt hours, which was moved and seconded and agreed to. So the item before us, after getting all public and committee input, is now appropriate to be moved with any recommendation as amended.
Thank you. I make a motion to move favorable action on PCR 74-22 to amend from 0.1175 to 0.1180.
Sorry if I was too lengthy in that. If the intent is to move, the appropriate motion is favorable as amended.
I move favorable as amended.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
No. That's, oh, yeah. Well, sadly enough, so am I. Okay. Bid number two, 2023-046, street improvements. Hi, Christy.
Good evening. First off, I would like to amend this bid award to add three vendors.
This will be PCR 75-22. Go ahead, Christy. Thank you.
We request to add Team Iozzi Incorporated, Cardi Corporation, and D'Amber Construction as additional vendors, along with J.H. Lynch.
Give me one moment. So your request is to add Iozzi, Cardi, and D'Ambra to the recommended, also with J.H. Lynch and Sons.
That's correct.
Thank you. So just for, so we're clear on this, I want to make sure. Please, one person.
So it's your option to either proceed with the amendment first and then solicit input, or if you want to solicit all input and then move the amendments, it's your discretion.
So I just move as amended. I mean, not as amended. I apologize.
If you want to put the director's request in play and then continue the rest of the hearing on that, it
perfect.
Would be a motion to amend to add the three additional vendors, Iozzi, Cardi, and D'Ambra. A second and the vote of the committee, and then continue with the discussion.
Thank you. I'm going to seek a motion for PCR 75-22 to add D'Ambra, Iozzi, Cardi to the recommended bidder of J.H. Lynch.
So move.
All those in favor, wait, correction. We're going to have conversation.
Thank you.
So I also just wanted to add that the funding request is in the amount of $5 million for a 6-month period. So that would be date of award for 6 months.
Got it. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Foley.
How you doing, Chris? Oh. Eric, how are you? Just for the record, why yes. Are we adding these vendors?
So I sent the memo out. I'm sure you all have that. Originally, we had five bidders. Cardi was the low bidder. Narragansett Improvement Company was the second lowest bidder. They challenged Cardi's bid on the grounds that they penny bid items. And there is language in the contract that indicates that it discourages that. We had discussed internally whether or not that was enough reason to throw out the bid, and the city solicitor indicated that there was enough reason to throw out the bid. So that's what we did. But then we had discussions with Narragansett Improvement, and they indicated that they based their asphalt prices on the assumption that there would be an escalation clause, which a lot of paving contracts have, that essentially allows for the price of as the price of asphalt goes up or down, the cost of the mix goes accordingly as well. We don't have that in this bid. So when we told Narragansett Improvement that we didn't have that, they said, okay, we can't hold our prices, so we're going to withdraw a bid. That meant that if Carney was excluded as a penny bidder, Myozy had an item they penny bid. D'Ambra had several items that they penny bid. So that left only Lynch. That's why the original recommendation came down as just Lynch. But then further discussions about the penny bid and also being able to have multiple vendors, that kind of brought us to this point. We're not obligated to throw out a bidder because they penny bid. It's more the city's discretion. There are reasons why penny bids are bad, because vendors will try and talk you out of those items. We asked Cardi last year to reclaim several roads, and they flat out said, we're not going to do that because we don't make enough money doing that process. So that's an item that they just bid low on. Never mind if a contractor penny bid an item. They're certainly going to push back against doing that. So by awarding all these vendors, it allows us to get the best deal for the city based on whoever put in the lowest prices. We can work with them on the paving. Similarly, Lynch, the benefit of having Lynch on board is that they are the paving company for National Grid. So currently, we will pave the road and National Grid will reimburse us. That reimbursement rate is $10.50 per square yard. The bids that we received in this package for that same process, the lowest bidder is at $11.28. So our reimbursement for that work would be less than what we would pay for it. Now, back in the day, when National Grid only paved half the road, it wouldn't matter. We would take that over and get reimbursed for it and go curb to curb. But now, with the new state law requiring for them to go curb to curb, it makes more sense for us to let Lynch or National Grid's paving company pave those roads. It saves us money. Because it doesn't make sense to pay $11.50 and then get reimbursed $10.50 when Lynch can just do it for free. But now having Lynch on board as a contractor, what that would allow us to do is to say, okay, National Grid's requirement only goes to this block. We want you to go the next two blocks and have it be one continuous project. So that's why it would be benefit to have Lynch. That's why it would be beneficial to have Lynch on board as well. The other vendors, Myozy, Cardi, and D'Ambra, they all have items that they're low in that we use a lot. Cardi is lowest for, let me see. So Cardi would be the lowest for the reclaiming process. That's when you pulverize the road and then you put back binder and top. Myozy has the lowest price for surface course. That's the asphalt that goes on top, the riding surface that is a little bit finer and makes for essentially the top layer of asphalt. D'Ambra, they have the lowest priced for the overall reclaiming because they have the lowest price for binder. So if you're doing that whole process, they might be the better bidder. But like we saw last year, when Cardi outright refused to go and reclaim a road, it's important to have a backup. If we award just one and we have this fight, then we're not paving. And that's the other thing we're up against. We lost a significant amount of time in this program because it was relatively late in the year when Myozy and Cardi approached us and said, we can't hold our current asphalt prices. Otherwise, we were just going to extend the existing contracts. So when that happened, we had to scramble a little bit, get these bids back out on the street. And that's why we're talking about paving, and it's already the end of June. You know, ideally, we would have been having this discussion a month and a half ago. So by awarding multiple vendors, we can get out in front of it and you know, kind of push them to pave as much as possible in the season that we have left.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
So thanks, Director. So just practically on a day-to-day basis, how does this work? If there's a road that needs to be paved or reclaimed or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's reclaimed or milled and overlaid is based on the condition. If you're driving over a road and a pothole is, you know, 2 inches down, the milling machine's not even going to touch that. So that's the type of road that you would reclaim. You pulverize the whole 10 to 12 inches. You mix the asphalt in with the gravel. You compact that. It sets up a nice base. Then you put 2 inches of binder and an inch and a half of top. That's essentially a brand new road. That road's going to last you 15 to 20 years without touching it. That's the first thing we look at, right? Like what process are we going to use? We would probably cluster a lot of them together. We're not going to mess with the contract and say, oh, you do this road, but now you go do this one right next to it. And like that, we would probably cluster them together so they're working in a neighborhood, they can get their work done. So that's the kind of thing we're looking at. Certainly, with this approach, is it going to be more work for DPW? Absolutely. You know, if we only had one vendor, we're just turning them loose and send them out on streets, that would be easy. For us to come back and have to do a little bit more analysis, that's fine. But it is something that will ultimately save the taxpayers money. So
we like the sound of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Eric, this bid that we're speaking about tonight, it's strictly for street improvements, right? Streets and roads?
Yeah. I mean, there's some sidewalk components in there if necessary. But yeah, for the most part, you're talking sidewalks, curb, roads.
Okay. So like it says, street improvements. Tonight, you said it at least twice. So I'm going to ask a little more detail on it. You said that Cotty refused to reclaim a road or two or a couple of roads because they couldn't do it for that price, various reasons. Which roads were that? Was that?
Burgess, DeSoto, which are over off of Strawberry Field Road, I believe.
Burgess,
DeSoto. And then there was Spadina, which is down in Connecticut.
Savina?
Spadina. S-P-A-D-I-N-A. Those were the three.
That they refused to do.
Correct.
Because of the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't rude about it. They just indicated, listen, we don't make enough money reclaiming, so if there's something else we can do instead, we'd rather do that. Which, that's nice for them. That must be a nice luxury to have. But it doesn't help us.
But did they actually refuse to do it?
They didn't do it. I don't know what else I could say. I asked them to do it, and they said no. So that sounds like a refusal to me.
Oh, so they did refuse to do it?
I asked them. They didn't want to.
You said they said no.
They didn't do it. The other contractor paid. I don't know what answer you want me to say.
This had nothing to do with parking lots or any of that type of thing, right?
Their refusal. We also asked them to pave City Hall parking lot, and they never showed up for that either. So that was another point of contention.
So there's a difference between streets and parking lots, particularly when you're requiring a contractor to do it after hours, and they have to pay premium wages, prevailing wages, to do it after hours. There's a difference there between a parking lot and a street. That's why I asked the questions I asked in the first place. This isn't the first time I have a problem with this bid. I'm sure folks that were sitting here before remember the discussion. So we have a low bidder who is over $100,000 lower than the next bidder, and $800,000 lower than Lynch. I understand what you're up against with wanting multiple vendors. We've had these conversations a lot in the past year. I supported it for the same reasons I had mentioned in the past. I understand it's difficult to get vendors, get staff, etc. But I still believe that the low bidder, the overall responsible low bidder, and I notice that I don't see that language in this position paper about paving. I don't see where it says typically the typical language about overall responsible low bidder. I think that what should be occurring is that the overall low responsible bidder should be getting first digs at doing the work, especially where they're a Warrick contractor. But it doesn't seem that, you know, that's the direction that you're looking to go. What I'm hearing is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing is that you're willing to select the low bidder on these respective items to do the work that they were the low bidder on. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, to some degree.
So that brings me to another problem. You have two processes. We have different bids here. We have bids to reclaim, and then we have bids to apply the finished paving. So what I'm hearing is you're going to be awarding whoever the low bidder is on the reclaiming to do that, and then whoever the low bidder is on the paving will do that part. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's a large part of it, sir. That would certainly save the city money.
Maybe. And I have an objection to that. And I'm going to give you an analogy. In my business, that would be like saying, we're going to hire one company to come in and strip off the roof, do all the ice and water barrier, do all the step flashing detail, do all the chimney flashing, because that company was the cheapest on the removal. But you're cheapest on applying the roof shingles. So we're going to have you come in after, and you're going to apply the roof shingles. Now, at some point in the future, the roof leaks, or the asphalt sinks, or we have a sinkhole around a sewer drain, or a curb isn't right. The argument comes into, don't blame me. I didn't do the prep work on the roof. I didn't put down the ice and water. I didn't put down the step flashing and the lead flashing. I did the roof. The people who did the prep say, it's not my fault. I didn't do the roof. My work's all right. I see this problem occurring with the paving the way you're talking about awarding it. Someone's going to come in, they're going to do the reclaim, they're going to do the rolly, whatever they do, they're going to make sure that, you know, this is compacted correctly and processed, et cetera, et cetera. Let me finish.
But I don't think you understand. We wouldn't have a piecemeal like that.
No, I understand what you said. Let me finish.
Okay.
And then what you said was you're going to call in who the low bidder is to do the asphalt work, and they're going to come in and do the asphalt. So now if we have a problem with that road, we have a sinkhole, take Sandy Lane, right? That was the same contractor did the whole thing. Suppose something like that occurs. Who's going to get the blame? Is it the one that did the reclaiming and the rolling and the prepping? Or is it going to be the company that came in to do the finished asphalt?
No, and that's why I wanted to cut you off, and I apologize for that. But we would hand over the whole street. If it was a reclaimed street, they would go soup to nuts on that one. So your analogy with regard to your business, it would be more like I have six houses and I'm doing all this work to all six. I get a better price on these three and I get a different price on these two. I would give you those three and I'd give someone else those two. But we're not going to micromanage it to the point where you know, this guy, this group's going to raise the catch basins, this group's going to mill it, and this group's going to pave it. If we give you the road, you're going soup to nuts on that road. But this allows us to pick the vendor that'll do the cheapest, you know, the most inexpensive for that specific process.
So then the low bidder is not necessarily going to be awarded the bid on what they were the low bidder on. I asked you in the beginning if the low bidder is going to be doing the milling work, and then you're going to bring in the low bidder for the asphalt to do the asphalt. And you said yes. Now it's a different
explanation. If I said that, I misunderstood your question before.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So now what we're saying is, no, we're not necessarily going to give the low bidder on the asphalt the work. Now we're saying we're going to take a look at this particular street, and there's milling and there's asphalt work, and because this person with the milling and the asphalt is cheaper than this one, that's what we're going to go with. They're cheaper on the milling, but they're not cheaper on the asphalt. So how is that any different than bidding a penny on a cement sidewalk that we haven't done in godforsaken many years, and high bidding something else, or going with a low number on the milling, but then you have a much higher number on the asphalt? I don't get it. I don't understand how that works. So, and again, in my world, I bid a lot of work through a particular city. It's not the city of Warwick either. And they'll break that bid up into four, five, six components. It'd be roof, it'd be siding, it'd be windows, it'd be gutters, it could be decking. It's all broken up. And we have to itemize each bid. And as a contractor, we may choose to do the gutters and downspouts a lot cheaper than other things because we're more effective at producing it. We can produce it a lot more economically than some competitors. They don't take the bid and say, okay, Mrs. Contractor, you get the low bid on gutters, you're going to get that. The siding is going to someone else. The roofing is going to someone else. No, it's one bid. Whoever the low bidder is the one that gets the work. So I don't understand how this process here is working with this asphalt. This has been going on for quite some time now. So I think it kind of goes against the grain of encouraging bidders to bid. We've been down this road for a very long time. White people aren't bidding. I have visited various entities to find out why they're not bidding. And we got a situation here where one contractor is $800,000 lower than the lowest one and a couple hundred thousand dollars lower than the next lowest one. So I don't get it. This whole thing just doesn't seem to be making a whole lot of sense to me in the process. So that's where I am with it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this. I think it's very simple. This is the number one issue we hear from constituents every single day. Roads, roads, roads. So the more companies that we have available to do it, the better. That's my opinion on this. We will look for the best price, obviously. But these companies are working across the state, across New England, some of these companies. So they may not be available. We're already behind. We're already weeks behind on some of these projects. So we go to the first bidder. They may not be available for whatever reason. We go right to the next vendor. This is the like I said, the number one issue we hear from constituents. This gives the city better options. If we only had the one bidder, exactly what the director, he gave an example. We need this street done. We're not going to do that street for whatever reason. And then we're stuck. Now, we can say, okay, thank you very much. We just go to the next vendor and get it done. So I completely support this. This is one of those occasions where I think having multiple vendors is crucial to the city of Warwick. It gives us more options. It does not hold us hostage to one company's schedule. They might not be able to get to Warwick. They have other projects that they're starting. Okay, we move to the next one. This gives Warwick a little more power. It gives Warwick a little more flexibility to tackle the number one issue we hear from constituents. So I'm in support of this and support adding these additional vendors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. So my concern on this is that if we have a bidding process as we do, and then we see some contractors come in higher than others, in this case, overall, J.H. Lynch came in approximately 20% higher than Cardi. I want to make sure that on the respective jobs that are being awarded, that the city is paying as little as possible on each of the jobs. One thing that I'd like a little clarification about is when the example was given of, let's say that Lynch is already doing some work for National Grid and there's a reimbursement that's being applied with that, then how exactly would it end up saving the city money if we're going and paving an extra couple of blocks if Lynch's prices are 20% higher, more or less, than Cardi's prices?
The application that you're talking about, if National Grid installs a trench down a road, National Grid is obligated to pave that. Right now, we pave it, and National Grid reimburses us. National Grid reimburses us $10.50 per square yard. That's less than it would cost us to pave it, so we would lose money by paving it. If we just tell National Grid, you have your contract to pave it. Now Lynch is paving it, and it's not costing the taxpayer anything. There's no reimbursement there. Lynch is working for National Grid, period, the end. But if they're going to stop at the end of that trench and we want them to continue another block to just make it nice and tight, then we would have Lynch on board with prices to ask them to do that. Without awarding Lynch, then there's no way to do that. Or we have another contractor stepping on Lynch's toes to do it, and that doesn't make any sense. That's what we're talking about.
I'm not entirely sure how that wouldn't necessarily make sense, because everybody had an opportunity to bid here. If we're ever in a situation where we're making a decision of, okay, we need a trench to be filled in and National Grid can take care of it for us without us having to pay one dime, or we can have our contractor do it and then our contractor is going to end up costing us more than what National Grid would reimburse us, then that decision right there, it seems to be a no-brainer that under those circumstances, yeah, have National Grid fill in the trench. And then if we do want to pave some additional blocks that are in the area, whether it's connected or not connected, then as much as it might seem a little bit rude to have two construction crews next to each other, I'm not sure why we would end up paying, we would want to pay 20% more if the construction crew doing that one particular job for that they're being hired by National Grid to do, if they wanted to have Warwick's business, then they should have bid lower. I don't see why we would want to reward them for bidding higher. What if they had bid 100% as much as the lowest bidder? Then would we still have the same feeling? I'm kind of confused by that. I think that if it's going to save the city 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever it may be, versus it'll save the city 100 grand or 200 grand or whatever higher hypothetical number, I think that you know, if the practice is going to save us $10,000, then that's every bit as meritorious as if it were to save $100,000.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions from the council that haven't been asked or discussed yet? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. So I just want to address the issue of the multiple vendors. I want to make sure that there isn't a different spin on my position. I said in the beginning that I support multiple vendors. I said that I have supported multiple vendors for numerous things, tires, auto parts, etc. And I do. In a different economic climate, I would be pushing for a vendor. This is a different economic climate. We're in a very different situation. I understand multiple bidders. What I'm requesting with this bid is that the lowest bidder on a particular item be awarded the bid or given first dibs. If one of them want to say, nope, I'm too busy, I can't do it, fine. Then you go to the next bidder. That's all I'm asking, is that whoever the company is, the low bidder on those particular items, they get the first dibs. It's not because somebody's angry because they didn't pave a street last week. That's my point. So let's not make it a spin that I don't support the roads. I support the roads. We've been fighting for the roads for 10 years, long before anybody got on a bandwagon in previous administrations for doing them. It's the process. Today, we don't have a lot of choice. We need multiple vendors. I get it. I agree. I'm just suggesting that whoever the low bidder is on a particular item, get the bid, or at least get the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other follow-up questions? Councilman Ricks.
To briefly follow up, to avoid a situation where we would, as a city, end up paying more by one particular vendor being chosen first on a list over another, yet at the same time, I certainly recognize that the city has an interest in making sure that the work gets done on schedule. The way that I recall we resolved this a couple of years ago, where we had multiple bidders, was to award the contract to three different bidders, but for the lowest bidder in that circumstance, have them have a right of first refusal so that they're given the opportunity to do it at that lowest rate. But if for whatever reason they can't schedule it at the scheduling that the city of Warwick wants to see, then we can move along to the next bidder. So whatever language that we had from a couple of years ago for this same contract, I would move to amend such that the lowest bidder has a right of a first refusal. And as to all the technical language that would go into that, I would defer to the city council solicitor and defer to the language that was used a couple of years ago, which I think, from what I recall, worked pretty well.
So we have a motion still sitting that we have to work through first. And so I'd like to, we can go back to that in a moment. I will speak on this now because I allowed everyone else to speak on it. I support getting multiple vendors. There's still a lot of projects within the city. When myself and many members of this council voted on that bond to restructure or redo our roads, I don't want to be held up due to, as I think it was mentioned earlier, that the bids that we had, the prices we had previously, all the vendors backed out because the cost